Let me say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the song service. I love that song. These young'uns graduating and people going back and getting their degrees, I really feel old this morning. But I also feel blessed this morning. I can say, along with what they were singing, that the older I get, the sweeter it gets to serve the Lord. I didn't realize whenever I was a young man and the Lord saved my soul, and then later on, whenever I would submit to the calling to preach, that this serving the Lord and this knowing the Lord and feeling His love and being in the house of God, it's the most addictive thing that I've ever known. And so often when we use the word addicted or addictive or an addict, we always use that in a negative connotation. There's always something negative behind it. Well, they're addicted to this, and it's usually negative, or they're addicted to that. But I believe that just as sure as there's things out there that are negative to be addicted to, then surely there's something positive that we can be addicted to, that instead of killing us and destroying us and dividing us, maybe it would bring us life and bring us peace and make us have joy in our lives and in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's nothing greater to be addicted to than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some evidence that there are people in the house of God, folks, with under the sound of my voice, that I can see you being drawn in and growing closer to the Lord. And I want to tell you this, continue to feed that and draw near to God and give Him the prominence in your life that He ought to have, and God will bless you for it. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the 16th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Lord, I may have mentioned this several times in the last few weeks. This has been very close to our heart. We hadn't preached on it yet, but we've mentioned it to about each and everybody in here, just talking separately. But this is a story of a man by the name of Stephanas. This man, Stephanas, is mentioned in the first chapter of the book of Corinthians. And Paul said, I'm glad that I baptized none of you save the house of Stephanas. This was really the first member of the church of Corinth. He was the only one, he and his family, that Paul had baptized. And he didn't hold that over everybody's head. That is to say, I was the first one. But he used it as an opportunity to serve the rest of the church. Let me say to you that God saves us and puts us in a place where we can serve Him by serving one another. And there's nothing more addictive and there's nothing more rewarding than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way we serve Him is by loving and serving one another. The greatest call a man will ever have on his life is to serve those that are around him. Whether or not you know this, daddies, we serve our wives and we serve our children in the way we live our life every day. We ought to serve one another. And in so doing, Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Here is a man that got saved, and not just he got saved, but his family. And now they're serving in the church. And Paul gives him some words of encouragement. And this is to the church. In the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, he says, watch him, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that he is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us in labor. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas, and for Tineus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore, according to knowledge, ye and them that are such. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus, God, as I come to you this morning, I'm so thankful to read about a man and a family that addicted themselves to the things of God. And Father, we're living in a nation where so many are addicted to things that destroy their lives, things that bring death and destroy their relationships and destroy their families. And God, this morning, I pray that you commend the church, Lord, to be addicted to Jesus, addicted to coming to the house of God, addicted to loving one another. God, I'm so glad that that kind of addiction grows us in the grace of God. That kind of addiction don't kill us. It gives us life. That kind of addiction, Lord, it gives us peace and love and joy. And God, let me say this morning, I thank you that a long time ago, I got addicted to Jesus. God, it's to say this, I have to have you. I can't live without you. And to taste you and taste your salvation has been so good. There's nothing else that will suffice or satisfy my heart and my life other than to walk in relationship with you. God, I pray this morning, speak to us as only you can through your word. God, where I can't, Lord, I know you're able. Speak to us in Christ's name, we beg of you. Amen. And amen, I said this and I'll say it again. There's so many people in the day and age we live that if I make the mention or made mention this morning that God has given me a message on addiction, immediately a lot of the deacons would shrivel up and go, oh my goodness, where is he going with this? And there are a lot of addictions that are negative that we could mention that you know about, that you see every day, that maybe even some of you suffer from. But let me say this, there is something that's greater than being addicted to the things of this world, and that's to be addicted to the things of God. And so many of you are in the house of God because somebody saw fit, your mama or your daddy or an aunt or an uncle or your grandma or your grandpa, they set their affection on things above. And you being close to the Lord and you being in the house of God is because they set their affection on the Lord and they brought you to the house of God. And as a 12-year-old boy, I didn't know what I was getting into when the Lord saved my soul. But I'm telling you what, the further along I get in life, the more addicted I am. Listen, there's been a time where they said the church wasn't essential. I'm going to tell you, if you're an addict to Jesus, it's essential. Now I look around me and I've been noticing some things in the house of God, and I want to call them to your attention, God being our helper, because I see some people in the house of God. I believe you've got an addiction to Jesus. Now so often we hear that and again our mind goes negative, but let me remind you, there's no greater addiction. We're all to be addicted to the Lord and to His work. There's some signs of addiction. You know, whenever you see somebody who's an addict and somebody who suffers from a negative addiction, it's almost like they've got to have what they're not supposed to have. But when it comes to being addicted to Jesus, God wants you to have a relationship with Him through Christ, and He wants you to have it all. He wants to give you, and I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about homes. I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking about peace and love and joy. And when I got addicted to Jesus, there were some things that come into my life. Why, an addict, somebody that's addicted to Jesus, they're going to have some love in their heart. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And I look around the house of God and I watch the way you love each other, and I can't help but say to myself, surely they're addicted to the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a man stand behind you and commend you for your addiction, but I want to fuel that addiction through the Word of God and tell you this, it is worth it. It is needful in the day and in the age we live. Thank God, my brothers and sisters, When we find Jesus the most necessary part of our lives, it changes us. I've watched some of you, and you know, I've been fortunate to be with you. I think this next year will be our fifth year. We've been with you for four, and I've got to see some of you grow up and to watch you grow in the grace of God and to see how you're still coming to the house of God. And mamas and daddies, let me say this. God bless your heart for raising your children in church. And there may be a time that they stray, but aren't you glad God put something in them that'll bring them back home? And you know why? Because you set your affection on the things above, and it matters. Listen, there's no greater witness I'll ever have than the witness I have with my family and with my children. They watch me. They watch how I serve the Lord. And ain't it something how so often in families, if the grandfather was an alcoholic, a lot of times the son's an alcoholic, and a lot of times so on and so forth down the generation. We call that a generational curse. Surely if there's a generational curse that deals with addiction, surely to God there's a blessing in it. Surely to God there's a generational blessing where the father was addicted to Jesus and the son's addicted to Jesus and the next generation will be addicted to Jesus. I'm telling you, addiction runs in my family. Not addicted to the things of the world, but addicted to the love of God. Some of my sweet little old Sunday school teachers here, yeah, you're here because daddy was addicted, and now you've got addicted to the same Jesus daddy was addicted to. My grandfather was a Jesus addict from a long time ago. You know, when you get addicted to Jesus, a lot of times you say things in uncomfortable situations. Now, I remember my little old grandfather, the God would get to moving in the service, and his little old hand would go up, and he would always quiver. You could see he was under. God was dealing with him. God was stirring in his soul. And that man would stand up in front of people he didn't even know and say, brothers and sisters, pray for my grandchildren. They need to be saved. I'm going to tell you, an addiction will make you say things sometimes in places you never thought you could say. You know why? Because it's your heart moving you, not your mind. Having said that, aren't you glad God put something down in our hearts that's greater than the desires of this carnal life? Stephanus. He loved serving the Lord. So Stephanus was the kind of man that when the doors of the church opened, he was a friend. You know what I've learned about some of y'all? Some of y'all done messed around and got addicted, and you love coming to the house of God. Ain't that something, how that works? I love to see people that can't get enough Jesus, that they want to be together. And you know what? You want somebody else to have what you've got. Let me tell you, when I got saved, I got it all. When I got saved, I got peace, love, and joy. I got some kindness down in my soul, and I want everybody to have what I've got. This morning, where's your affection? What are you addicted to? A lot of us have got this little instrument, about like that right there, called a cell phone. Anybody besides me addicted to your cell phone? Yeah. But I've never been able to call on my cell phone in the middle of the night and it bring me peace when my heart was broken. I'm addicted, you know, some of us are addicted to work. Do I have any workaholics in the house of God? Nathan, don't raise your hand because nobody's going to believe you, son. You are. Hardest working man one of them I ever saw. You pay me for that later. I'm the kind of guy, when I get my mind set on something, Kena calls it pawpaw mode, which is a reference to my grandfather who had the same attitude. And there was a generation that when work was to be done, nothing else mattered but that work. Anybody live with one of those, God help you. And We get in that mode to where work's all that matters. Let me say this.
Hey, God expects us to work and support our family. Somebody say amen. God expects, he said if we didn't provide for our family, we were worse than an infidel. God means for, God built your body so that you could take care of it and that you could work and that you could provide and that you could use the intelligence that God give you. And God knows y'all have got a whole lot more than I do, and you don't have to say amen to that, but we know it's the truth. But I'm going to tell you this, God has provided a way for us to take care of our families. But let me say this, if we're not careful, we can get overbalanced, and the work that we do on this earth is more important than the work we're doing for the kingdom of God. And nothing matters more than seeing folks saved by the grace of God. And Stephanus was addicted. And here's what I love. It wasn't just Stephanus that was addicted. It was his whole family. There's nothing more beautiful. Jason and Amy, let me tell you what was so precious about having you in the house of God, because you got a family that come with you. See, the way that thing ought to work, it ought to, salvation ought to get in your family, and it ought to make a difference. And we ought not have to beat our kids to get them to come to church. There ought to be a time in their life when they want to come. Now, having said that, there have been times I've had to beat my kids. No, I've had to encourage my kids to come. There were times my mom and dad had to really fight hard to get me to come to the house of God. And let me say this. Hey, we grew up in a church at one time. It was a, boy, I got to be careful. This to get back to them. God help me. I don't mean this being negative. Let me say this the right way. At one time, I mean, it was just a powerhouse for God. And we, it was like every church. It goes through ebbs and flows. And we hit one of those times when the church was kind of away from God, and there wasn't a whole lot of pull there, and there wasn't a whole lot of love there. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. In a situation like that, it's easy for the children and the young people of the church to find their way away from God. But you and I as adults, we set the example. As a pastor, I set the example. To be addicted means to have this fervent desire, not just a little desire, not just a spark of desire, but a fire burning in your heart. A fire to see other people have what you got. A fire to see somebody else blessed and enjoy the goodness of God. And this church has been through its ups and downs. Every church has. And we go through those down times. And in those down times, it just seems like it's so hard to come and pull everything together. But just as sure as we have those down times, God sends us an up time, and we regather and we regain what we had lost. And I want to thank God and thank the church for what we've gained over the last few weeks. Again, I see a people that are addicted to Jesus. Stephanus and his little old family were addicted to the service of the saints. I would submit to you, there's no greater service you'll find in life than to serve the people of God. There's no greater joy than to be called into that service and to labor for the Lord together. And again, brothers and sisters, when we find that place with God and we get our relationship right with God, those good things that are in God flow in and through us. We ought to be a people of great peace. We ought to be a people with a consistent witness. We were talking about this morning, and the scripture that we read in Colossians was, set your affection on things above. So often our affection and our attention are on things below. Let me ask you this. Where have you really set your affection? That's a hard question, isn't it? See, now you ask me that question in different times. If I'm honest, my affection is different places. Anybody in here old me? You ask me in the fall where my affection is. If I'm honest with you, somewhere out in a pumpkin field, my, you know, I'm thinking about that all the time. Your affection means, what are you thinking on all the time? Where do you put your mental and emotional energy? And there's way too many of us. Let me tell you this. If you put your mental or emotional energy into the politics of our age, you're always going to come back empty and empty-handed and sore-hearted. But when we put our affection into the church and into each other and into knowing that you're blessed, listen, I want you to have all that God has for you. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to bleed whatever God calls me to do to make sure you've got what you need. You know why? Because there's a world out there that's addicted to all the wrong stuff. And if they ever get a taste of Jesus, it'll do for them what it done for me and what it done for you. There are people out there that are addicted to hate, and they're addicted to strife, and they're addicted to anger. Some of you boys, y'all growed up with an old daddy, knowed something about serving the Lord, didn't he? Some of you ladies growed up with a mama and a daddy that knowed something about serving the Lord. It ain't just happenstance that you find yourself on a church bench on a Sunday morning while the rest of the world's out doing what they do. See, you might not even know it, but you've got addicted to the Lord. And you know you need Him, and He is what supplies the needs of your life and the needs of your heart. And let me say this, I'm going to tell you this. Without Jesus, we'd be the most miserable people in the world. Without Jesus, we'd act like everybody else acted. Without Jesus, we would be as dismal. Oh, but ever since the day the Lord said, save my soul. He put something down inside of me. You know what one of the symptoms of being a Jesus addict is? You can't wait to go home. One day after a while, I'm going to a place called heaven. How about you? I couldn't understand them old men that get up and they'd testify and they'd cry their eyes out and they'd talk about going on. They were addicted to Jesus and they had their eyes gazing above the plains of this world into a place called glory. You know what? Let's take a little test. Let's see if you're really a Jesus addict this morning. I know it's a strange mess. It's what God sent, guys. It's all I got. I'm going to trust it. We're halfway in it now. Ain't no backing up, are there? Do I have any of my school teachers and my mamas driving down the road in the morning and all of a sudden you're singing a gospel song? Do I have any of them in here? Do I have anybody that cries going down the road because they're praying and talking to the Lord? Or they hear a song and you're singing a song and it gets down on the inside of you. And you know what? You don't care about what's going on around you. You got alone with the Lord and the tears are flowing. And don't you know the one beside you going, what in the world is going on in that car? I'll tell you what's going on. That woman's addicted to Jesus. Is anybody beside your pastor rides around on a tractor and all of a sudden God starts talking to you, or there's a song comes on your mind and you begin to sing it, and the more you sing it, the more you feel it, and the more you feel it, the more you sing it, and before long you're crying tears of joy? That's not normal. That's because you got addicted to Jesus. What about some of you? Some of you are so addicted you don't even know it. There are people that have a need. They show up in your life. You don't even ask no questions. You don't ask what the need is. You just give because it's in you. I'm telling you, you're an addict. And it's beautiful. You don't give because people are watching. You don't do because it's expected. You do because it's in you to do. But I'm going to tell you the greatest sign of somebody that's addicted to Jesus. If I got a little preacher behind me, is somebody, come here, baby. Say, uh-uh. No. Is somebody that's able to love people no matter what, that you can't help but love folks. That is a true sign of somebody that's been addicted to Jesus. All right, now I'm closing. Say, thank Lord. There are some things in my life. I've got this condition called obsessive compulsive behavior. Can I get an amen? There you go. I obsess over the stupidest things. Does anybody else have that? I tell you how you know you've got it. If you go into a room, a bathroom, and there are two towels and they're not straight, you've got to straighten them. You've got that. Or if you vacuum a certain way or cut your grass and the lines have got to be in a certain way. Yeah, all right, Sam said, I got that. Yeah. We're addictive in my family on my mama's side by nature. I've got uncles that have died with alcoholism. They died from alcoholism because they were addicts. I've got aunts that died from heart conditions because they were addicted to foreign substances and stuck them in their body, and over time it killed them. I've got a family that has fought with addiction. About 16-year-old, I had my own fight with some addiction. I know a little bit about it. I'm going to tell you the best way to get rid of a bad addiction. Replace it with something better. And I'm telling you, there ain't nobody like Jesus. At the age of 18 years old, I was out running and doing all that an 18-year-old does, and a lot of it was bad and wrong, and it could have led to the end of my life. But I'm going to tell you, I come, and this is how simple it was. This old girl asked me to go to church with her, and I said, all right, I'll go. And God had just called me to preach, and I'm standing in up, you know, they asked for prayer, and I come up, and I'm dealing with what I used to do and my old habits. Anybody find out that old habits are hard to break? Seriously? And I'm dealing with all this stuff. And I'm going, I know I've just told my calling to preach. I'm going down. I'm not going to make it. And the man, the little preacher man said this. And you know who it was, Tiffany. He said, son, if you'll just ask God to take away all that stuff and replace it with Jesus, I'll tell you, your life will go a whole lot better. His name was Amos Creel. I'm telling you, we prayed, Tiffany, and God touched me that night. I didn't even know exactly what was going on. I knew I'd been saved beforehand, but that night God done something in my life. And it's never been the same since. My prayer for Wes, and my prayer for Chandler and all these young'uns is that they get addicted to Jesus. That's my prayer for Trey. That's my prayer for her. I know, Mama. I say, Mama, I'm just into stuff. I just don't. So let's stay in the house of God. If you're going to addict yourself to anything, addict yourself to serving the Lord, and I'll promise you, you'll have a good life. Stand to your feet this morning. Oh, I just had to tell you. Hey, don't. It's okay. I just had to tell you, I'm seeing a bunch of addicts here. I'm seeing a lot of signs of people who love the Lord. And it really, really blesses my heart as your pastor. Listen. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, the only thing you know is the world, and the only thing you know are the things of this life. Maybe you felt mama and daddy's love or the love from your grandparents, and that's a godly good love. But I'm going to promise you this, ain't nobody can love you like Jesus can. Brothers and sisters, when you know His love, you know true love. Oh, if you don't know Him this morning, won't you come? Get us a song, Steve, if you will. Get us a song. You're doing so good. Church, I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you. And I want to tell you, I thank you that you've addicted yourself to serving the Lord. And it's going to pay off. I'll assure you. What you got, Steve?